Dear hearers of the Word of God, grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we begin talking about Zacchaeus, I'd like to say something about the city of Jericho, one of the ancient cities of Scripture. And it has been called the City of Palm Trees. About 20 years ago, I was in the Holy Land and was near Jericho. I don't think I was in the city limits, but right by it. And I could certainly see that there were a lot of trees in the city. When we think about Jericho, we probably think first of all of Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. And it was located about 5 miles west of the Jordan River and approximately 15 miles from Jerusalem. It was to Jericho that poor fellow was traveling when he was set upon by robbers and beaten and left half dead by the roadside in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Moses, we can imagine, saw Jericho when he was on Mount Nebo. He didn't get to go into the promised land, but he was permitted to go up on the top of Mount Nebo and look to the west and see that promised land, which the others were going to go into. And undoubtedly, he was able to see Jericho from that point. It was at Jericho that Rahab the harlot lived, who befriended the spies. And so she is mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And it was Jericho that was the first conquest in the promised land after they crossed the Jordan River. North of Jericho, there is a mountain which is believed to be the place where Jesus was tempted by Satan, called the Mount of Temptation. We don't know if that's the place exactly, but that's what it could likely be the place. It was outside of Jericho that Jesus met the blind man Bartimaeus, who called out to him and said, "Son of mercy, have mercy on me." And "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus gave him his sight. And it was at Jericho that we have the last recorded convert of Jesus' ministry before he went to the cross. And at the cross, he also admitted the penitent thief into the kingdom of God. Before we look at Zacchaeus, we notice that Jesus attracted great crowds as he went about. They walked, Jesus and the disciples walked, and there a lot of people just came out to hear Jesus speak and to teach. We know at one occasion there were as many as 5,000 who had come to hear him. Another place, at least 4,000, and he fed those multitudes in those miracles. On what we call Palm Sunday, the city of Jerusalem was filled with visitors, with pilgrims, and they hailed him as he came in, "Hosanna to the Son of God." Now this man Zacchaeus, what comes first to mind? This is a familiar story, as I said. We know that he was a tax collector, also called a publican in older translations of the Bible. He was one who collected the revenue. We're also told that he was a short man. I had a man in one of my congregations in my first parish. I served four churches like pastors used to do around here too. And in one congregation there was this very short man. But he was a farmer. He was able to do that work. He had an unusual name too. His first name was Ai. The letter A, the letter I, pronounced Ai. And that's a Bible place. It's a place in the Bible. So this man had that name. Ralph Connor, who was a minister as well as an author, in one of his books, he has one book called The Friendly Four. Ralph Connor, perhaps best known for the book The Sky Pilot. He wrote many other books, The Sky Pilot in No Man's Land, Glengarry School Days, The Man from Glengarry, Corporal Cameron, Black Rock, The Foreigner, The Doctor, and a lot of others. And I've read all of his books that I could get a hold of. They were telling about times in the early 20th century. But in this book, The Friendly Four, he discusses a few Bible stories. And one of them is the story of Zacchaeus. And he pictures it this way, that a publican was in cahoots with the soldiers. So if a man came in to pay his taxes, he was told the amount, and I think the tax collectors had a good deal of leeway in what they could ask for. But the taxpayer would be given a sum to pay, and he would contest it, say it is too much. And so they would talk back and forth and get into a little argument. And outside would be a policeman, and he would hear this, and he would come in and inquire what the trouble was. And he would be told that this taxpayer does not going to pay the tax, and so the policeman said, then I will have to arrest you. And the taxpayer, of course, realized that he better not go any further. He better pay what he has been asked to pay. And after that taxpayer goes out, then the tax collector gives the policeman some money for having come to help him out. It was a kickback. So it might have been that way in those days. The tax collectors had a bad reputation. They were listed with the sinners. Ralph Connor goes further in description, pointing out that Zacchaeus, who was a Jewish man, was working for the Roman government. So that didn't make him popular. Even as during the Second World War, there were some Norwegians who were more friendly to the occupation forces there. And that, of course, lowered them in the estimation of their fellow citizens. The tax collector probably took the job only as a temporary thing, but there was money involved, and that was attractive, and so he kept in the work. Connor suggests that Zacchaeus' wife no longer was close to him. The marriage was in difficulty. The only son they had was embittered. His father was hated, and Zacchaeus was also. And so Zacchaeus found out that the best things in life are not obtained by money. And he was a miserable man. This, so far, Ralph Connor. But we know that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He must have heard about him. There wasn't the instant communication that we have today, which we marvel at, but the word got around. Passed mouth to mouth. Matthew was another tax collector who became a disciple. We're told that Jesus passed by his office, and he invited him to come and follow him. And Matthew got up and followed him. It looks like Matthew, out of the blue, just began to follow Jesus. I'm sure it wasn't quite that way. He must have heard about Jesus, this man. He must have had a desire to know him. and to follow him. Jesus was near the end of his ministry. He was well known. And even Zacchaeus, who was thought to have, thought to have no conscience, thought to have no interest in spiritual things, and yet he did have. And this should be a word to us, too, that when we see people who seem to be so uncaring, that they don't have any interest in church or hearing the word of God, they may even label themselves as atheists, that they still have something within them that longs for something better. We know the words of St. Augustine, who said that the human soul is restless until it rests in God. So Jesus had come to Jericho, and Zacchaeus thought, this is my chance. I can just to go and see him. We know that grown men don't climb trees. As we get older, we probably think sometimes it would be nice to try that again, but we don't do it. We leave that to others, unless a cat is caught up in a tree and we might be forced to make a rescue attempt. But the streets were crowded. We've all seen parade routes where people were standing shoulder to shoulder along the curb. Zacchaeus was a short man, and maybe they purposely prevented him from crowding in so that he could be in the front row. The good citizens wouldn't help him, and so he thought, I will climb a tree. Here is a sycamore tree, and I will climb up there so that I get a glimpse of Jesus. And Jesus sensed a seeking soul as he walked along, all these curious people, but he could sense that there was somebody here who had a better purpose in mind, a greater desire. And he spotted Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was seeking, but Jesus was seeking first. It's always that way. When Jesus called Nathanael, he said to him, before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. He was called to be a disciple. Zacchaeus, hurry down. I must stay at your house today. Jesus invites himself. Zacchaeus, I'm sure, wouldn't have dared to ask Jesus to come to his house. But Jesus invited himself in. He didn't feel himself worthy. When Jacob was at the river, before he was going to meet his brother Esau, and he was very fearful, didn't know how Esau would meet him after all these years. But Jacob wrestled with the angel. He prayed to God, and he said, I am not worthy. When the prodigal son came to himself, and when he came home, he was to say to his father, I am no longer worthy to be your son, but I hope you will take me in, accept me. And that's the kind of a spirit that the Lord desires to find, where there is that feeling, that desire, not of being worthy, but falling upon the mercy of the Lord. I believe this was the point of repentance. And Zacchaeus was turning from his former life. He received Jesus joyfully into his home. And even more important, he invited Jesus into his life. He had to endure some ridicule when this happened. People said, Jesus has gone in to be with a sinner, the home of a sinner. Yes, he was a sinner, but now he was a forgiven sinner. And that's what happens when we meet Jesus and receive him into our lives. We are sinners, but how good to be forgiven. Are you that today, a person forgiven by the Lord Jesus? And then Zacchaeus wanted to make things right. And this is a wonderful thing, that he had that desire. That's the way it should be if somebody meets Christ and experiences a conversion experience. It should make a difference in how life is lived. He said, "I will give half of my goods to the poor." He must have been a wealthy man. He must have had a lot of money that he had earned legally and rightly. We are told that he was rich. He was going to give half of his goods to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone, and he had done that, no doubt, he would pay fourfold. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, in the Mosaic time, that if a man stole an ox from somebody, he had to give the man five oxen in return. If he stole one sheep, he had to give back four sheep. So it seems to me that Zacchaeus, he was a Jewish person, he must have known something about the Old Testament scriptures when he said that he would repay fourfold. There was a man named Jim Voss. He was one of Billy Graham's early notable converts, if we can put it that way. He had been a wiretapper. He had worked for Mickey Cohen. Some of you who are a little bit older, you remember the name of Mickey Cohen, who was a notorious character. And I happened to have the opportunity to see Jim Voss one time in person. But we're told that after his conversion, he went from place to place where he had stolen money or equipment. And he knew that he could face years in prison by making himself known in this way. But he also knew that he didn't mean business with God unless he did go and make things right where he had done wrong. And seeing his sincerity and what he did, he never spent a day in jail. So he escaped that, but he was willing to do that if need be. And we're told that he put out $12,000 to $15,000 over a period of time to pay back people that he owed. He risked perjury to free an innocent man. So that was a great testimony of what Jim Voss did. Perhaps in life it is too late sometimes to make amends, to make things right, but if things should be made right, that should be done. It might mean putting out some money. It might mean restoring something. It might mean apologizing to somebody, asking forgiveness for something in the past. But these things should be taken care of. Perhaps you remember several weeks ago there was the story about a person, I think it was a man, who had stolen a sweater or something from a store quite a few years ago. But now he sent money to the store, not only for what he would have paid for it if he had bought it at the time, but he also sent several times more to make up for what he did. That was a person who had this on his conscience, and he wanted to get it off there. And so he did that. And I think a lot of people probably thought that's a strange thing to do, but that's what a person has to do if he wants to be honest before the Lord. So where it is possible to make amends, do that. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And that's what this story about Zacchaeus is. And it is a wonderful story. And it reminds us all about that invitation to come to Jesus. Amen. Yes, dear Lord, we thank thee for this account. True story. Something that really happened. And help us to see the lessons that there are in it for us. Help us to be honest before thee. We thank thee for thy mercy and grace. So be with us as we close our service and as we go on in this day and the days that we may be given. In Jesus' name, amen. And here's a very good closing hymn, Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior.